can return it to me if you'd like it, Adam. Surely.
We
can
have
flash
to
it somewhere. Like, I found it useful because.
What's it say?
It's got the county logo, but it's sketchy, so I just didn't know you can.
It looks like the person is some person.
Hi.
Surely it's not.
This is the mental health board meeting.
Oh, good. I'm not lost.
You're not lost.
Some are
totally
lost.
Not lost.
And some are whatever.
Some are just having a great adventure.
Yeah. All right. She bought some snacks and some drinks.
Oh, yeah. We probably need something. Hi, Molly.
Hello.
think that's exactly it. Just only talk about that.
Yes.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Stephanie, do you have audio now? No.
Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, just...
Stephanie's
there
computer.
There are six participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded.
Stephanie, is that... Okay, it was. She's trying to fix her audio.
Okay.
But I can do, I think I can do roll call. Let's see, I've got people in the waiting room, too.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. We are ready.
I'm having to use my phone.
Okay, thank you.
I can't hear you, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try to do the roll call, but I'm... Can you admit the people who are waiting? I can't get to that field fast enough. Okay. Well, we're ready, and you have a quorum.
We can hear Stephanie, but Stephanie cannot hear the
meeting. Exactly. Yeah. So, Stephanie, you can't hear us, but we can hear you. But so I'll do the roll call, and you can tell me if I did it wrong. She can't hear me. We do have captions. Can you see what we're talking about on the captions? Are you going to be able to admit all those people? They keep coming. Okay. All right. And then I have something else I need to enter into the chat before I can talk to her through the chat.
Okay.
But I have to wait for all these people to come into the meeting before I can do that.
There you go.
Okay. There we go.
Do you have some kind of echo?
Yeah. That's because you and I are sitting under the loudest speakers, so it's just us.
All right, we will now call to order this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, September 17th, 2025, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Scott M. Bennett Administrative Center, 102 East Main Street, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call, please?
Alejandro Gomez.
Here.
Did I say it right? Okay. Jean-Paul Joachim.
Here.
Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Chris Miner. Jane Sprandel. Emily Rodriguez. Kyle Patterson. Molly McClay.
Here. All right, thank you very much. So we do have a quorum, so we can proceed forward to approving the agenda. Any discussion about the agenda, or would anyone like to make a motion to approve?
I move to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved.
Could you remind me who made the motion and who seconded? Thank you.
All right. Next, we will move to the 2025 schedules, P PY26 timeline, draft 2026 schedule, and draft PY27 allocation timeline. These are on pages 3 through 11 in the packet. No action is needed, but Lynn, is there any information from these that you would like to share with us?
At Chair McClay's request, we included this information in this board packet to give you some advance warning that we have had to change the pattern for the meeting because of availability of meeting room and then the impact on our staff. So we've moved to the second Wednesdays of each month. And I think I asked folks about it in the summer, but it was a long time ago. And I don't know it's a long time ago, and I don't know if people even noticed that as it kind of flew by.
So the Community Coalition meets on the second Wednesday, doesn't it? So we come from that right here. There's time, I guess.
Just saying. You're right. It sure does. This has been very difficult. We even changed the entire allocation pattern so that we could deliver you the same products in the same time. I mean, we can't change the coalition meeting, and that is really important to our work.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, I'm going to go back.
It ends at 5.
Well, it's a lot.
But it is a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's ponder it a little more. It takes a lot to shift because of availability of the room and the process for securing the room. So this was a crisis for about a month and a half while we figured it out, but that might be a reason to try to go back to the original. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you. And I think this is why we appreciate so much, Lynn, you and the rest of the staff providing us all this information well in advance so that we can work through these kinds of things. So any other information about these documents that you think we might need to know?
We tried to keep, even though we're moving our deadlines around a little bit, we have to maintain the contracts, commit the agencies to certain deadlines. Those are not different. Those are just, they kind of have to stay like that. And we also tried to maintain the same pattern for the application period, because I know 1 year we moved it by 1 week, and it did create some problems for agencies who were used to a different deadline. So we understand a lot of people are relying on us to be consistent. So I tried not to disturb things like that.
Thank you. So next we will move to CCMHB acronyms and glossary. These are on pages 12 through 23 of the packet. No action is needed, but Lynn, are there any updates to this?
I think that Mr. Bryson and I made quite a few updates. I don't know if you saw the last time you had a meeting, which would be when you see these, was July. So I don't remember if we had done them by then, but we're trying to keep up with the changing world. So,
well, thank you all for your work on keeping that stuff updated. So next, any discussion from the board? All right, seeing none, we will next move to public participation agency input, which there are two times in the meeting where this will happen, now and at the end, just to let you know. But as always, the Mental Health Board wants to hear from members of the community. We cannot respond directly to public comment, but we may use it to inform future decisions. And so if anybody would like to make public comment, they can come to the podium and they can fill out a slip of paper that is available in the back, and we could read your comment. You can also, if you're on Zoom, you can raise your hand, or you could say that you'd like to speak in the chat and we will designate you. I may limit individual speaking time to 5 minutes per person and total time to 20 minutes of discussion. And I just also want to mention, for any agency representatives or anyone else providing input, to please be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act and take appropriate steps to be in compliance with the act of speaking. So given that, is there anybody who would like to make public comment? Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Janice Nance from Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center. I know that I came and spoke with your organization probably about 3 or 4 months ago, and at that time we were looking at trying to get an audit completed with a new auditing firm, which we have since done, and I am hoping that we can revisit funding for our organization through the Champaign County Mental Health Board to support our youth programming and the 5 core programs that we have going on in the 26th fiscal year. So I don't have a whole lot to say other than that. That is why I'm here. Just hoping for your support, your human kindness, and your funding. So that is it.
Thank you very much. And while we can't respond directly right now, we do have some items on the agenda to discuss, and board members may have additional questions, in which case then I will call you back up to share more with us.
Sure.
Would anyone else like to make public comments?
Good evening. My name is Dave Barr, and I want to start by thanking you for the M&Ms. I did polish off a package of those, and I don't think I've been to a meeting that put out M&Ms. So you guys are ahead of everybody. I'm also here to speak on behalf of Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center. I am a board member. I would just simply tell you how I got to Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center was kind of a journey. I've been involved for I don't even know how many years, 7 or 8 years, and my focus has been reduction of gun violence in Champaign-Urbana, and that led me to a variety of different organizations. I started off actually with Restoration Urban Ministries. I was volunteering there for years, got to know a woman named Angela Worthy, who is a saint. She now works for the city of Champaign. And she guided me, and I next went to work with a gentleman, Maurice Hayes, who I think the world of. And Maurice ran an organization called the HVNT, Hood Voice Vision, for Neighborhood Transformation. And I worked with him for several years in that organization, and very good organization. That led me to, he introduced me to Taryn Nance, who happens to be Dr. Nance's husband. They're recently married, and I can tell you she has an amazing singing voice. I heard it at her wedding. And Taryn was a superintendent of schools in Urbana, and he led the Anti-Violence Collective, another great organization that I was involved with. That eventually got me to Janice. And I really, after a lot of thought and some experience, limited experience, but some, I really feel that this organization is so important to our community. And I've witnessed what they can do. And Janice, I call her the little engine that could, just does it all. And she has these amazing staff people that support and get it done. But they latch on to kids at about age 3 to 5 in there someplace, and they don't let go. That's the key. And they take them all the way through high school, all the way through trade school, all the way through college. And the results, I've met so many young people that have been through this program that are amazing. And so I think I'm a long-term resident. I was born here. I grew up here. I went to the U of I, and I've watched this community. And I hate to say it, folks, I've watched it deteriorate. And I don't like to let things, I don't like anything. We were in real estate here for many, many years, still are. I don't like to let things be worse than I found them. And so I am doing what I can to take this community forward, and I 100% believe in the mission and the execution that Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, how they get it done. So that's it, and I thank you for your time and consideration and your funding of the community. It means so much.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else, either in person or online, who would like to make public comment? All right. Seeing none, we will go ahead and move forward to our next item on the agenda, which is chairperson's comments. So my name is Molly McClay. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the chair of the Champaign County Mental Health Board. I say this every time, but we never know what new people might be in the room, so I did want to introduce myself. I had planned to defer my comments this evening, but I did want to take a moment to recognize a couple of individuals. I want to first recognize our new board member at his first official meeting, and that is Alejandro Gomez. I had the great good fortune of working with him at the University of Illinois, and I was very excited to hear he was joining us. So I can't wait to see what contributions you'll make to the board, and very happy to have you here. And then I would also like to acknowledge the vacancy that Dr. Gomez has taken is from a very longtime board member of ours, Joe Omoosagie. And I just wanted to take a moment to recognize his many years of work in this community. I know he has been a part of so many different mental health organizations and efforts to really promote mental health in this community, being a part of our board for many, many years, including really leading the board during the very difficult COVID years. I didn't join until 2022, and he was the president at my first couple of meetings before Dr. Joachim took over as president, and his leadership was extremely important to me, and also just he has a special way of helping us remember what's really important. And I just wanted to take a moment to recognize him. So I'm very glad to sort of see sort of the changing of the guard in a way, and have a new board member who's going to bring really important perspectives, and to also acknowledge the work of this board member that has departed. So those are all of my comments for the evening. So I will now move on to the executive director's comments from Lynn Canfield.
I'm going to defer comments because there's a whole lot of opportunity after this for me to talk, and because I know some folks really need to move through the business today. So,
all right. So next, we will move forward to approval of the CCMHB board meeting minutes. So these are on pages 24 through 30 of the packet. Action is requested to approve the minutes of the CCMHB's July 23rd, 2025 meeting, and our August 20th, 2025 study session. So any discussion about the minutes, or would anyone like to make a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve the CCMHB July 23rd, 2005 meeting and August 20th, 2025 study session.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the CCMHB's July 23rd, 2025 meeting and August 20th, 2025 study session as presented, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice lists, which are on pages 31 to 54 of your packet. Action is requested to accept the vendor invoice list and place them on file. So any discussion, questions, comments, or motions to approve? Accept, not approve. All right. Well, seeing no discussion, I will move to accept the vendor invoice lists and place them on file. Can I have a second?
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice lists and placing them on file, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted and placed on file. So next, we have made an adjustment to our typical agenda ordering. So we will first be doing old business, and then we will be doing new business, and then we have a section for reports, which contains some old business that was like recurring. So that's going to be the order. We're going to try this order and see. We got some guidance from Robert's Rules and want to try it out. So we will move to old business first, and there are three items that sort of each one is contingent on the one before it. So I will briefly kind of lay this out as we go through each one. So as with prior discussions of funding applications where there were late audits, we had a process in the spring of once an audit came in, we received a memo that was about the fact that the audit had came in, address, you know, mentioning some things, and then giving us the opportunity to decide if we want to consider the application at that time or deny or defer. And then if we do want to consider the application, then we have an opportunity to review that application now. We did not review it back in April. So if we decide to review it, we will have an opportunity to hear from Leon Bryson, who will give us the overview. And then I know Dr. Joachim was one of the reviewers. Joe Omoosagi was the other reviewer who is not with us, but any of us can ask questions. And then if we have reviewed the application, then at that point we can make a decision on allocation. And there's some different options for that that will be specified later. So before we start, any questions from board on that process? So it's been a little bit. All right, so we will first go to the request for us to consider the application, and that's on pages 55 through 56 of the packet. So for the board's consideration, action deferred on April 30th, 2025 on Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center is now requested. So Lynn, is there anything that you would like to share briefly about this memo?
No.
Guess I laid the process out well.
I think I'm getting really good at very dry, maybe even boring memos.
All right. So I guess I would say we can open up discussion from the board, and then if we would like to ask the agency any questions at this time, please direct the questions to me, and then I will call agency representatives forward. So any discussion on this item?
I guess my one question for Lynn is, how much funding do we have left? And are there any other requests still that we are potentially going to consider in the future?
That is a great question. We could do that now, or we could do it again later. But yes, we have a very unusual situation this year, and that is that Rosecrans, it wasn't really a surprise because we've been talking about this forever. They secured federal funding for a number of projects that the Mental Health Board has been supporting, and even some expansion or change of those programs. So they canceled a couple of contracts. They also returned a bit of money. I have no idea what the fate of those programs will be next, but we're not there yet. So right now, there is enough money, even in the 2025, what's budgeted for contributions and grants, which is where the agency subawards, the agency contracts come from, there is. There's one other thing that might come back to you, but it is an application that the board already denied funding for, but the county board was considering funding it. So there may be... At some point, there may be a request to collaborate on funding. That it's the Wind Recovery Resource Center, but right now the county is very interested in that, and they're negotiating with them. So yes, you have money. There are some other unusual circumstances affecting our budget this year and next year, but we'll talk about those in October.
Very good question. Any other questions or comments? So I guess I will say that, when we made our funding decisions back in May, I know we had talked about this program and hoping that their audit would come in so that we could have a chance to consider them because of their really important work to the community. And I think while the audit did come in later than after the start of the program year, I think from my perspective out of fairness across the board, we did consider all of the other applications once audits came in for any other ones that were late. And based on the important work of this program and that fact, I think I am in favor of considering the application now. Of course, open to other perspectives.
Do we need a motion, or are you not to that point yet?
If there's no further discussion, I can move myself, or if someone else would like to, we have a couple of options available. But I did want to give an opportunity for anybody else to share, if they think that we should also consider, if they think we shouldn't consider, or if we should do something else.
I just wanted to comment. It's my first time, so I've read the packet, but I haven't been in one of these before, but I would say go by precedent, in terms of how we've approached this similar situation or with other programs. That's the way I would say it.
That is a very important point, so thank you. Anyone else? All right, well, seeing no other comment, I will move to consider the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, Inc.'s PY 2026 funding request. May I have a second?
Second.
Multiple seconds. So any final discussion? All right, we can go ahead and take a voice vote for this one. So the motion is on the table. Can I have a roll call? Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Not a voice vote. I would like to take a roll call on this one.
All right. So bear with me. That's okay. John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Alejandro Gomez.
Yes.
Did I miss anybody? We're just you, right? Got everybody else? Molly McClay.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. The motion passes. So we will consider the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center, Inc.'s PY 2026 funding request. So we will now move forward to the old business item B, which is to review this funding request. The agency request for funding may be reviewed by the board, and the draft staff program summary is included for information only on pages 57 through 62 of the packet. So we will start with having Mr. Leon Bryson give the overview of the program and then go to Dr. Joachim for comments and then any other board members for comments.
Thank you, Molly. Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center is applying for funding for the Community Study Center, which is a continuation of a program funded by the Mental Health Board most recently in the program year 2023 and for several years before that. The request is for a greater amount than in the past. They selected the priority thriving children, youth, and families and justified that choice. The proposed services are in-person academic, social, emotional, and recreational enrichment for Urbana students, K through 12, after school, and during the summer. In the staff review, you'll see that there is an eligibility issue related to the delayed audit. Particular strengths of the program are the unique approach and staff credentials. A staff comment of possible interest is regarding the client outcomes measure. The board reviewers were John Paul Joachim and Joe Omo Osagie.
All right, thank you very much, Dr. Joachim, for your comments.
So, you know, we haven't funded this program for the last year. I know there was some issues in the past with just, you know, getting the audit and you know, their connection with the CPA firm. I know other agencies have had similar issues, and it looks like now they have a good relationship with their CPA firm, and things are, going the way should hopefully go. I'm born and raised here as well. You know, I went to Urbana Middle School, High School as well. I've seen over the years how things have gone in the wrong direction. And coming back here after my training, it's something that I also feel that responsibility of trying to make sure that we make this place grow and thrive and try to make sure we are looking at the long-term well-being of the community. And the only way to really improve that is you have to lift up two generations at the same time, usually the parent and the child. And so for me, I always look at how do we try to reduce adverse childhood experiences. And basically a way of putting that complicated term into reality is how do you reduce stress for the child or the parent? You know, whether it's financial support, parental support, how addressing bullying, having a consistent, positive adult influence present, you know, mental health support for the people in the household that have mental health issues. Addressing that decreases the stress in the home and the way the child's brain develops, that toxic stress that they would otherwise be exposed to. This agency does that in several ways. So one is it decreases stress by providing extracurricular activities, whether, you know, there's four really healthy ways I say to reduce stress. One is physical activity, so that they do that. Two is socialization, so hanging out basically with friends or family that relax you, that don't stress you out. And then there's art activities and music activities. And the one thing, even if you are exposed to these kinds of stressors in your life, the one thing that can build resiliency is having a consistent, positive adult presence there. And so when parents, especially now in this world, have to work, you know, both parents have to work, or the parent has to work two jobs, or they have to work late, there isn't that time to, you know, have as much one-on-one time with your child as you'd want. And then they're at home a lot of times, you know, they stay home because they can't afford a babysitter, and you don't tell anybody, you just tell them, lock the door, don't answer the phone for anybody, call, you know, my work if you have any, you know, emergencies, you know. And what this provides is a continuation of stability of that socialization and outlets for stress relief for those children, so their brains can develop properly in the summer times when they're not in school and after school when parents are working. So I think for the long term, if we are looking at long term reduction of violence and positive brain development, and, you know, just positive outcome for the well-being of the community, this is something that is important. If we have the funds to fund it, I think it's something that we definitely need to make sure we do fund. So that's just my input. I think it's a great organization. Obviously, they also have a lot of funding from other avenues like United Way, the City of Urbana Grant, IDHS, Summer Youth Employment Grant, the Nutrition Program Grant. So they've gotten a lot of other funders, which is really good and what we want to see from our agencies. And I like that they go all the way up to making sure that they have a plan for the future for the older kids, for vocational, you know, training and planning for what they want to do, whether that's college or some other path. So, yeah, I think it's a great program.
Thank you very much for your comments. Any other comments or questions from board members?
Yeah, I just had one. We funded this program we used to fund it for quite a while, and it is a wonderful program. But for years we were asked for like $25,000 or so, and we always said, "But you should ask for more." And now you've asked for more, a lot more. And I'm just interested to know if you've expanded programs or expanded the age or just what that's about, the increased need for resources.
So please come forward and answer. And I know I have a couple of questions as well, so you can stay up here if you want.
Sure. So we did add two components to our programming. So we have five core programs that have been running for the 15 years we've been in existence. That's our after-school enrichment, summer youth employment, intensive literacy, and college and career readiness. So those are our five core, but we recently added a family literacy program, to your point. And so we meet on Saturdays, and the sessions run 10 weeks at a time, and then we go for a little bit of a break, and then we come back and we do the 10 weeks. So we feed the parents. The parents come in, they eat lunch. We give them strategies and teach them actual strategies for literacy at home. And it's just simple things you can do with your kid as you're riding in the car or as you're in the grocery store or things you're doing even as you're, prepping a meal or, helping with a younger kid that older student can do just to increase their literacy and their stamina for reading. So we do the family literacy program. That's one added piece to it. And we do bring in people, speakers. We do like a lot of different curriculum. We purchase curriculum for that as well. And then we have the Future Teacher Program is the other one, which is in combination with Eastern Illinois University. So it's a partnership that we started through Grow Your Own Illinois. And it was just a collaborative effort and idea to try to recruit more teachers of color. And so it's something that we do there as well. We meet with our middle school and high school students, and we open it to others in the community that aren't connected to the center to come in as well. And we kind of give them like a behind-the-scenes look of what it's like to be an educator, and we take them to college campuses, to the different university college of education. We've taken them to ISU's College of Ed, U of I's College of Ed. We've taken them to EIU's College of Ed as well, where I'm an alum. And I just talked to them about my experience being there, but I also let them meet some of the current college students and just in passing had them like ask questions and just, just encourage them. Like, this is your time to shine. Ask them questions about what they do and what their life looks like. We take them to the HBCU Fair in Chicago as well as the one in Danville because there's 107 HBCUs or historically black colleges and universities and unfortunately none in Illinois. So we take them to expose them to other opportunities outside of the state as well. And so those are some of the things that we've added component-wise to our organization. But the other piece of it is just the cost of everything, as I'm sure has gone up. We've been able to purchase new vehicles. We've been able to, get things that we needed because some of our older things were going down and stuff. But, then, of course, every time you replace something, then something else pops up that, you need maintenance-wise or, and even just, supporting our payroll has gotten expensive. So there's just so many different moving parts of it, and most of them are moving upward in terms of cost.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, yes, go ahead, Lynn.
I think that also in the past, this organization relied very heavily on volunteers, and I was very happy to see included in the personnel matrix a person responsible for reporting, because that's going to help with sustainability too. That was another like maybe it's a little dry, but I liked it, and I just.
To your point, yes. We've added more staff, paid people to come in, and everybody is part-time. So we all have full-time jobs. I have two extra jobs on top of the center. So we're all working hard, and we're all, committed to these kids. But we do have more staff now than what we did in the kind of the earlier years, or even within the first probably I'd say 8 or 9 years, where we were more heavily reliant on volunteers.
Thank you very much. And Lynn, thank you for making that comment, because I was trying to find the words for it, but since it has been a while, I could not remember exactly the reporting thing. Thank you for mentioning that.
Thank you for, because we talked about that. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it was, it was something we noticed, because, like, especially I think, it is helpful when we, like, sometimes make, like, oh, like, we would really like to see agencies ask for more and ask for specific things, and to see you do that was fantastic. And I have some comments, but I want to ask a couple questions while you're up here. So I wanted to know, since it's been a bit since we received the application, have there been any new sources of funding that have come in since then?
The one source of funding that we had was through the Grow Your Own Illinois program. So there is a small bit of money that comes with that. All of our other funding sources are there. We do have one that we used to have that we unfortunately do not have anymore. We had for years the Illinois Teen Reach Grant, which we had, I'd say probably 11 or 12 years we had that Teen Reach Grant, and then the state had a $3.4 million budget cut, and unfortunately a lot of the Central Illinois programs got hit. And so we were one of those that lost, well, I shouldn't say lost, because we kept it through the end of that term, but then when we reapplied, we just weren't able to get it again. But all of our other funding sources are in place.
Okay, thank you. I was wondering if the program, the is it Grow Your Own Illinois? Was mm-hmm. that if I wondered if that had a funding component, but that's really good to know about that other program, that how hard it was hit and how that has, like, rippled out into not only throughout the state, but especially, like, the Central Illinois area. That's really, really unfortunate. So thank you for sharing that. And then my other question was, and I have been asking this of everyone that we've been kind of reviewing later due to the audit thing, so out of fairness, I will ask to you, what is the plan for audits going forward, and maybe in particular, how is it looking in terms of the next year's audit? How has that progress been going?
So we've actually already like I've connected with both Taylor and John from our new agency that we've been working with, or CPA firm. Both of them, I mean, I'm just going to say it, and I wish they could see this, but I'll let them know I told you. I told them too. They are phenomenal in terms of communication. It is a complete 180 from what we experienced before, where we didn't hear for 7 months from the previous auditor, and I was saying on a human level, I'm concerned. Hey, Mark, can you go talk to the guy and make sure he's okay in there? Like, I haven't heard from him in 7 months, not even by email, phone call, nothing. Drove to Springfield to try to catch him, you know, and so the guy that I'm working with now, very professional. They communicate often. I mean, I call them, I get a call the same day or the next day. I email, they email back. And they're out of Indianapolis, but they are, like, they're licensed in different states. And I mean, were able to get me what we needed pretty quickly, being that we asked them for a rush just because of the lag from the other firm. And so I've already asked him. I said, hey, you know, he said, well, you know, we could start working on the next audit in December. I said, well, I was thinking like September. He was like, well, I just didn't know if you wanted a break for, I'm like, no, don't worry about a break for me. We got to get this rolling. And so, we've already started sending him some things, and, we're in discussion about, what they'll need from us, and they've sent us some things already. So, we just came out of that one, and now we're getting ready to roll right into the next one. And that's how I plan to do it every year with these guys, 'cause they're good. They're just good. So I'm like, as soon as we finish one, then just pop back in and get that next one done.
That is really, really helpful information to know in a lot of different ways. Especially, I know you have talked about, like, the absent communication from the prior, and we do understand that so many of the agencies we work with are up against these, like, big delays from the auditing firms, in part due to prioritization of other types of clients, which You know, I think we're hoping to be able to identify. I keep talking to Lynn about how we want to have this College of Business do a project where they keep a running list of the nonprofit, the firms that will do nonprofit audits every year. And we're like, come on, some accounting class, please take this project. You're always looking for projects from us. Like, can you just do this one? So we do recognize that. But I think it's great that you have this great working relationship with them and that you've already started on the current or the prior year audit. I know it's always hard to remember which year are we talking about right now, but it sounds like you're on it already. So thank you. Any other questions from board members on the application? I just wanted to say, when I moved here for my MSW in 2009, and I think this was around the time that it sounds like this organization began, because I remembered hearing about it in my master's program and throughout my time in this community. Students from the university would talk about this this agency and like working with them. And I know as a therapist who primarily works with adults but has had the great opportunity to work with adolescents too, how meaningful it can be to have people that are there for you no matter what, beyond your family and your friends, and also to have a place that you can go that's like your place. I know that that's so important for everyone, and I know at our last study session it was even mentioned, like, can we just have places in the community for us to go? And I think that that's what this program provides, among many, many, many other things. So I just wanted to mention that. Any other comments from board?
I get to hear about your program from a unique perspective, and you guys are doing really good work.
Thank you.
Especially with developing staff and how that trickles down to helping and supporting the youth there. So appreciate all of your work.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion from the board? All right, seeing none, thank you very much for answering our questions.
Thank you for having me.
Hearing our comments. So we will now move to our next item on the agenda. It's sort of our three-part on this item. So the third part is to discuss, now that we have reviewed the application, we can discuss and make an allocation decision. And I'm trying to figure out my new operating system on my iPad and where the documents are now. But so since we have opted to review this funding request, we can consider a decision regarding a funding award. Action is requested. So there is a memorandum available on pages 63 through 65. And I will defer to Lynn to explain more about this, and I can add some clarification also.
I could not pass up an opportunity to write another really dry, perhaps even boring memo. But the reason to do this is that I wanted to align this discussion as closely as possible with the process that you moved through during the spring, even though that took 3 months and you're doing this in one night. So this is parallel to the memo that you work through in May, where you have staff opinions. Those opinions tend to be about affordability, which we've already covered. Thank you, Dr. Joachim. It's, you know, I wish I could give you all like perfect updates on the budget, but I don't have information until October. But I'm confident that you can afford this or part of this. I also, there are staff notes that we prepared back when we did the rest of them in May. So those are duplicated here. They include like just an observation that this would be about half of the total revenue for the program and that it is aligned well with the priority category, that we would like to see some financial form revisions, numeric targets for those utilization measures, which are, you know, how many people are you serving and how many service contacts, that kind of thing. I think this would actually be quite easy for the agency to do, and we can work with them through these requirements. I don't remember relationships across program performance targets, youth outcomes, and assessment processes, but I think it was like possibly that we just needed some clarification across those domains. And then similar to every other contract, the contracts that started July 1, we would want to have a certificate of insurance for the current year, a letter of engagement with the CPA firm, and then there's this new requirement just to let us know when the CPA has started working on it. So although Dr. Nance just did that, we might have an email exchange to that effect to confirm when it started. We're also we're still trying to understand what happens to nonprofits, especially smaller ones, in their work with CPA firms. So this type of information in the aggregate will help us later if there's something that we think the board can do to improve the situation. Then there are some special provisions listed, which are just things we would like to include in a contract if the board chooses to contract with this agency, just some things that we thought would be beneficial for the community and for the agency and for us. So anyway, so then after that, there's just a lot about like, what is your start date? If the board feels confident that this budget is correct, the proposed budget and for the annual amount requested, if that looks appropriate to y'all, and I do not think that I needed to see revisions to the total amount requested. So staff are somewhat agnostic about that. You could pick a start date of July 1. You could pick a start date of the day that audit came in, or the first full month after that audit came in, or tomorrow, you know, to respect the board's decision process, or October 1st. And this is another, you may want to have further conversation with Dr. Nance about any of those options, but this is why you have yellow highlights on X's instead of a specific action, because I thought this was worthy of a board discussion. Anyway, I think I've said enough. Okay.
Thank you, Lynn. And I will just add on, I think we had some back and forth on like laying out these different amounts based on what the start date might be, because this is the only application we've reviewed this year where the audit came in after July 1. So there is maybe a little bit of a different calculus for the amount, but we do have the option to offer a two-year contract. And for that, what we could do is if we want to have a start date that's different than July 1, we could offer that for this year, and then the next year we could offer the full amount. So that's why the action for the possible actions, the motions to approve, is written a very specific way. And I think once we agree on it, I have no problem like reading, making that motion myself, plugging in those numbers and dates. But I did want to mention that the two-year contract option, because most of the other programs we funded for PY26 like were on a two-year contract if the agency agreed to it.
So I guess one thing I would just say straight out of the gate that might help with this discussion is I doubt that they've hired the people to fill all the roles that are funded that we would fund at this point, because they don't know if they got the funding yet. So it looks like there's four direct full-time people that are going to be funded by this position, 1.45 indirect. You know, if you look at the direct staff salaries to be charged 100%, there's like 17 roles there, or 14 there, and then three indirect. And I'm sure that's an amalgamation to make so many FTEs. So I think that's the question I would ask them, because if it doesn't really matter, if they haven't hired these people yet, you know, if we fund the full amount, they're not going to use it yet. So that lower amount may not make a difference either way. So I think I would ask them, do these amounts matter or not at this point?
And is there something you wanted to say on that?
No, it's up to, it's great if you want to do that. I wanted to add after what you said that I have talked with Dr. Nance about the option, like in May in your memo, we might list this as offer a two-year contract. And then after that, the staff are having a conversation with the agency. Do you want a two-year contract? Okay. I already talked to her about that possibility, but I think this is, if you all want to discuss more with her, I'm quite happy to stop talking.
Dr. Joachim, do you want me to call agency representation up to address that
issue? Yeah, I think just answering those questions would be
okay.
easier for
yeah.
us to just make a decision.
Yeah, please come forward. And then, Dr. Joachim, can you ask again kind of what you asked? Because I know we had like a little discussion happening.
I don't know if Dr. Nance has the list of different possible options. So I guess my main question is, have you hired any personnel that would be directly funded from us at this point in time, or are you guys waiting until we provide the funding?
We do have two that we hired, and they were hired over the summer for the summer enrichment program, but they're still working with us, you know, throughout the school year and after school program. So right now we're paying them, and then if the you know Champaign County Mental Health Board funding comes in, then we shift them off of our funds and then move them to Champaign or County Mental Health Board, if that makes sense. But the other two we have not hired.
So I guess then, sorry to like turn then I guess back to Lynn, I guess then we do need to have a start date of July to be able for the agency to fund those employees, because otherwise they would not have that funding sufficient to go back and backdate the funding or their salaries from our funds that we're giving them, correct?
I guess with the caveat being, like, so if not all of the positions have been funded, one, would some of that money be returned later if, like, it was not all used at a certain stage?
So, and I think this is clear in the contracts, and it's something we can discuss with agencies as we do a contract negotiation. But basically what we're talking about is if you get to the end of the year and then through the audit process, we can see that you underspent, especially on staff. That's usually the biggest portion of every grant anyway. So if they weren't hired, agencies tend to return that money to us rather than divert it to some other expense. So, right.
So I guess
like
my,
you know that.
My question for you, Lynn, is the start date should be July 1st for this, because this is the first time we're funding them since 2023. I can't fund an agency all of a sudden that's a new agency or new funding and then have them use those funds for 6 months ago, is what I'm saying. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So I guess for us as a group, we need to make sure our start date is July 1st. And then I guess, I don't know, Dr. Nance, did you have page 64 in front of you?
Yes.
Does the amounts make a difference? I guess, so then I can ask Lynn, I guess she said we have the funding, but if we funded like say 345,000 instead of 382,000, is that still going to be sufficient, or are you guys going to have a hard time? Or
yes, it would still be sufficient. Okay. You know, now, of course, if we were looking at that full amount or back to like July 1st, that would be helpful, because then we could, you know.
So there is a difference.
There
you
is
guys
a difference.
Would be utilizing that fund extra, that the full funding.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good to know, just so I can make that decision.
Yes. And if I may, we hit a kind of a rough patch this summer. And so this having that backdated to July 1st would also help just going forward, that safety net of knowing like those staff are covered, and then going forward we have, you know, we have everything covered. So it would make a difference for sure, but we'll be appreciative either way.
Thank you. That's all the questions I had.
Yeah, I think one thing I want to say kind of from the get-go is that while I'm not certain regarding July 1st versus August 5th, just recognizing that, when the audit was delivered, like, is an important date, and other agencies with late audits were able to deliver it before July 1st. I'm still open to either of those. What I don't think I'm open to is anything after that, because the fact is, like, we did not have a meeting in August. We had a study session. We did not discuss business. That meeting was tentative and then converted to a study session, and I don't think that it would be fair for us because we could not take this item up until today, I don't think it would be fair of us to do a start date later than August 5th for the contract, because just for the sake of the fact that we didn't have a meeting. I think the audit came in probably right around when the stuff for August 20th study session was coming out. I don't know if we could have even converted it to a meeting at that point, but I think it was just, the timing was just not quite right. So I don't think we should consider the later ones of September 1st, September 18th, or October 1st. I think that we should only consider July 1st or August 5th. And that's just based on what, weighing all of these different aspects about the agency's needs, as well as the importance of our process. So I just wanted to say that. But if there's anybody that feels really strongly about those later dates, also please share that. So any other comments from board members on what we should do?
Alejandro brought up precedent. Is there any precedent that we should consider here that we haven't brought up?
I know for this particular program year, there is not precedent. I know we the precedent was to consider the applications once the audit came in, but because all those audits came in prior to July 1st, it didn't affect the start date. But I wonder if there were prior years where an audit came in late and how we handled the start date.
I really don't want to talk for very long about it because you all have spent so much time on this issue of late audits, and we've tried a lot of things to help the situation and not been very successful with helping the situation. But over time, I have observed some progress in the right direction in a few ways. And so the process you're engaging in this year is actually different. It's newer. So I would say there isn't precedent prior to this year because, this has been a super important topic probably since 2019. Maybe that's when we started to really talk about it a lot. So whatever happened before this year, I don't think we can really truly talk as precedent because we're trying to change the rules and the practice around this.
Right, because I think before we just, if an agency hadn't turned the audit in, we went ahead and we reviewed the application, we often funded it and just waited for the audit. I guess that is a way to think about, in a way that was the precedent and we are attempting to make some changes going forward. But I think this particular issue there, we can't really defer to any precedent.
So I would just say that in the past, I started in December 2019, we had funds to fund everything. So there wasn't this sense of urgency, I feel like, to get things done on time. And then there was also a lot of issues with CPA firms prioritizing agencies' audits. I think for multiple reasons, there was a lot of delays. And that did obviously, we didn't want to put undue stress on our staff. And so we started to realize, hey, we need to really get on top of agencies and set some more harder rules in the sand that we need to hold them accountable. But at the same time, it's weighing the benefit to the community, because who does it end up hurting in the end, right? It doesn't hurt. Yeah, the agency may not get that funding and that leader, or may not be able to hire staff. But really, at the end of the day, it hurts the community, it hurts the community members, and it's weighing the risk and benefit. And I think agencies have gotten better. They have found better ways of finding CPAs that are going to be more responsive. It is not an easy process to find a CPA that is going to be on top of audits. Working with the university on programs to help those agencies be learning all the things they need to learn to be successful. So I think over the years we have slowly inched our way forward at getting better, and the agency is getting better at this process. That being said, you, the Urbana Neighborhood Connections community withdrew one of their funding requests a couple of years ago, and I feel like they have demonstrated good judgment of like when they aren't ready and when they are ready, and I think now they've demonstrated that they are ready. They have good communication, and so again, there is no precedent really for this situation. It's more of, you know, how are they demonstrating that they are ready, that they're responsible, that they're going to be accountable? Have they demonstrated that? Yes. You know, is this funding this agency going to provide good services to the community that's going to promote the well-being long-term and be effective? In my mind, yes. So I think based on those, and I think the likelihood of them being accountable and effective and on time with future audits, I would open up the prospect of funding everything and backdating it to July 1st, whereas other agencies have applied in the past this year where we said, no, we're not funding. I don't feel that there is a likelihood that there is going to be accountability and you're going to get your audits done on time. And so even if other agencies have gotten their audits done earlier, they may not have gotten the funding. And we demonstrated that with one of other agencies because we didn't feel comfortable funding, feeling that they're going to be providing the responsibility of getting things done on time and providing the right answers that we felt like they were going to, you know, be effective. So hopefully that answers some of your questions.
Thank you. Any other thoughts from board members? Go for it.
Everybody's been pretty articulate tonight. So what I'm going to say is I don't want a nickel and dime Urbana Neighborhood Connection. So can I move that we fund them from July 1st, 2025 for $382,180?
I will second that motion.
Can we amend that motion to include, do we want to include the option for a two-year could we reword the motion to say and offer a two-year contract instead of the like stuff with the other dates?
Yeah, I don't remember the format that I used in the earlier memo, but it was something like maybe motion to approve CCMHP funding of $382,180 each year for a two-year term of July 1, or two-year period of July 1, 2025 to June 30, 2027 for Urbana Neighborhood Connections Community Study Center subject to the caveats, blah, blah, blah. Right? Does that sound familiar to you?
Pull it up.
Oh,
thank you. It sounds familiar, but I don't know if I fully registered all of it. So I think we could make a way to make this work. We could just read it as it's written there.
Okay. So it just doesn't have the numbers filled in. Yeah.
I should know this because I'm the chair, but to amend the motion, do I just read it as this and we count it? And then
I'll move to amend the motion to state to approve CCMHB funding for a period of 2 years in the amount of $382,180 for the period of July 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2026, and $382,180 for the period of July 1st, 2026 to June 30th, 2027, PY 2027 for Urbana Neighborhood Connections Community Study Center, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum and to authorize CCMHB Executive Director and Board Officer to execute the agreement.
We'll second the amendment. Any final discussion? I do want to say that I was prepared to suggest the August 5th date because whatever fairness means, but I think, Dr. Nance, when you shared about the work starting already and you're like, I don't want to take a break, let's just get going on the next one. that gave me a lot of hope that you will be on time in the future. And that makes me feel comfortable going ahead and doing the July 1st date. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you for being proactive. And thank you to your firm for also being proactive and communicative with you. Any other discussion before we vote? All right, I'm not going to try to say that motion again, so I think it has been clearly stated. So may we have a roll call?
All right, this is, I'm on pins and needles to get this right. Elaine Palencia.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Alejandro Gomez.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes. All right, with that, the motion carries, and this funding request has been approved.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. I did this application from Carl Hospital from a bed. Seriously, thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much for your work. We will now move forward. I think there we do not have any other voting items for the evening, so go for it. Yeah, go for it.
I got it?
Yeah. Thanks for the extra bag of M&Ms, and thank you so much for what you've done. First off, I would like to invite you to come down, contact me, contact Janice, but see what you've done and tour the center. And when you walk, bring a hanky, when you walk in the door, it says it all. And it is so well thought out, so well executed. And just a couple quick things. 10% of the kids identify as homeless. 48% are under the poverty level. A lot of the parents are hanging on. And funding has dried up. You have so much help this organization. And your money is being so well spent. And I tell people, if you don't believe in miracles, okay, come on down. Take a walk in. Just step in the door and look. Janice performs them every day, and you've performed one tonight. You cannot begin to imagine what you have done to help our community. Come on down and see. Really, thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, it feels awkward to move on to new business, but I think that that was a great moment, and I'm just going to acknowledge that. So we can go ahead and move to new business, and this is all sort of looking to the future stuff regarding our next years of strategic planning and our next funding cycle priorities. So we will start with the draft three-year plan for 2026-2028. This is on pages 66 through 79 for our information. An initial draft of a three-year plan is offered for those fiscal years with objectives for 2026, and a briefing memorandum describes the process. So, Lynn, please share with us more information.
It does feel weird to launch into the future. Thank you both for coming. And I think you, when you do the funding process that ends usually in May, like, everybody's so tired that you don't get to feel how important it is. So maybe it's kind of good to have one that took a little bit of extra time so you could feel how important it is, because I think the whole funding, the whole allocation process is really important. Obviously, I wouldn't do this job and write these really long memos if I didn't think so. So this one, the memo is, you know, just a cover memo to the three-year plan. The three-year plan is drastically different from what we have been doing for many years. The reason that we made this shift is to focus more on the annual cycle and what all these activities, like, actually mean and what they're connected to, and then to incorporate some of the values that the board has clearly expressed in the last couple of years into that plan. So we may have missed some things. We may have misstated some things. I already found a typo and already a situation that changed since we wrote this. So there is a revised version coming your way in November with that little typo and that circumstance change, but also hopefully with input from you all and further discussion with our staff and also from the public. Mr. Bryson has sent this out for public comment already, and we've asked people to give us their thoughts before the end of October. So anyway, we split it up this year into that statement of purposes that's just always been sitting there, not really doing much on the first page of the three-year plan. We decided to actually organize the whole thing according to the purposes. And you have time. You don't have to do anything with this today. You don't even have to talk about it. But I just wanted to share with you why it is structured differently this time. I think that's enough for me to say right now.
Thank you very much. Any questions or discussion from the board?
I'll just say quickly that I noticed the difference in language over the years, how it's changed. There used to be such an emphasis on like phrases like interrupt the school to prison pipeline. It was so negative, you know, and I like the way this has changed toward things like purpose and positive groupings.
I appreciate that as well. Thank you very much for sharing that, Elaine. Any other comments?
A couple of us met with a person who specializes in this kind of planning a couple times, and he gave us some really cool advice. And one thing we need to do, and it's at the very end, it's probably time, 2026, to do a little bit of an internal operations review for a few reasons, mostly like in case there are significant retirements from our staff. It will be good to understand what staff functions we need to maybe group differently, if there's opportunity for modernization, that type of thing. So you'll see this, where is it? It's like evaluation, but it's a really different kind of evaluation from the rest of it. It's assessment of the organization. There is something in there that I wanted to tell you. Oh my gosh. Something else in there. Yes, in the process of doing that, I might also like to really look at the statutory requirements for a plan in the first place, because I'm not sure your three-year plan needs to be this elaborate at all or even pointed in this direction. This ends up kind of being a statement of the staff obligations to the board and the board's obligations to the public and what each can expect. That's kind of what it's evolved to, but I'm not sure you need to even do that. So that's something I think we'll talk about in 2026, like what kind of three-year plans might we develop in the future, like after this one. Anyway, that's it.
Thank you. Any other comments on the plan? I apologize if you said this earlier. We've had a lot of business already. When will we vote on this?
Because it's a plan that would go into effect January 1, 2026, sometime before that. So our hope is to bring you a revised version at the November board meeting. And if that is needs much more revision after that point, we might do a December meeting. There have been final versions that had revisions that were just discussed during the meeting and then incorporated. So we were done. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right, we can next move on to the draft PY 2027 allocation priorities, and this is on pages 80 through 98. So this is an initial draft of the PY 2027 funding allocation priorities and decision support criteria. So Lynn, would you share more about this?
This is also more substantially updated than I thought it would be. We tried to preserve the same broad priority categories, but there are a lot of changes within those. Like maybe some are a little bit more simply stated. But there's so much going on. We got such a lot of needs assessment data this year for a few reasons that, you know, all positive. But then we have this operating environment section that was really hard to do because we can't know from one day to the next what to make of some of the large-scale changes. And in fact, after we finished this, and there are some links to resources that might actually not be available anymore as of like a couple days ago because of changes in federal policy. So I think there's somewhere in this operating environment section, there's a statement about this part's kind of hard to account for, but like, I just think it's so ironic that as soon as we publish it, like, the situation's actually different already. So we may have to make some changes to that, or maybe we just say, you know, we're going to move through the next year with that larger degree of uncertainty than we've had. The agencies are, you know, there probably will be more requests for funding than we have had in many years because of newer gaps, but we'll see. So I didn't think this was a good time to change the broad categories. If this money becomes useful for stabilizing what we have in this community, then we wouldn't want to make too much change into the terms that we're introducing. So anyway, that's all.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? I look forward to seeing how this will develop over time. And I know that we're exhausted. So if there's no other comments, we can go ahead and move on to our reports section. It's a new part of the agenda. We will start with staff reports. These are on pages 99 through 117. For information only, staff reports are included in the packet. And these are from Kim Bowdry, Leon Bryson, Stephanie Howard Gallo, Chandra Somerville, and Chris Wilson. Any questions or comments on the staff reports? I wanted to ask a little more about Beacon because it was mentioned in several staff reports, kind of like how you all as staff like sort of see that intersecting with work in the community. And designate anyone you'd like to answer
I don't know if Chandra wants to speak to it. We have all been in rooms talking about Beacon for various reasons, but Beacon is a statewide instrument meant for people who are looking for help for children, mental health or other behavioral health concerns, supports for children across the state. So like any other, like it's a nice database. I've seen a demonstration of it as they were purchasing it. I think I even know the people, the salespeople behind this, and it's a fine instrument, but it's not going to work unless the data it contains are up to date. And that's always the challenge for service providers. So there's this kind of repeating theme throughout our documents of encouraging agencies to share up to date information on Beacon about what they're doing for children now. So, I mean, I'm so sorry to agencies who have to update multiple online data systems, but this is really important as, you know, children are facing so many challenges now, and the state is finally seriously implementing a behavioral health transformation plan, and this is like one of the first steps in it. So hopefully it will be a helpful resource. Is that okay?
Right. Thank you so much. Any other questions or comments about the staff reports? right. I don't see any other comments. I do want to add, like, you all have been working extremely hard on many, many, many things alongside also moving. So just a shout out to all of you for your incredible work always. But I think especially like juggling all of that while moving all of your offices over here is big. So just wanted to say that. So we can next move on to the evaluation capacity building project update. So we will have an update from the project team. And as always, there is a link to other resources developed by our team, the microlearning videos specifically. So please come forward and share your update.
A happy hump day, everybody.
Woo.
So I'm Jacinda Dariotis from the Family Resiliency Center. And I have some exciting things to show this evening, but before that, I will give a brief report. We have been working with three of the agencies for technical assistance, so Promise Healthcare, PACE, and Christian Health Center, and it's going really well. Our partners are working well with us, and we're helping them think through their outcomes and logic models and other things that they're needing, so that's wonderful. We're working on their data collection tools and their plans. We are also launching today and tomorrow office hours for other agencies and any of the agencies that are funded so that if they have small questions that they want to have answered that we can help with, that then they can reach out to us and we can provide that information for them, and then potentially creating a frequently asked questions document that then can be shared with all the agencies so that we're spreading the information to everybody. In case they don't want to, can't, or haven't thought about questions to ask during office hours. So we're going to be launching that and seeing how useful and needed it is. So excited about that. And then we are having an in-person training on storytelling in reporting. And so we have asked the agencies for their availability for October 8th and October 9th. And so we'll be setting that day and time based on as much of the availability as is revealed to us. So be on the lookout for that. We will be having that in-person training. And of course, with in-person trainings, you have to have some kind of homework, right? So we're creating microlearnings, which are the really short videos that we've showcased to you. And we have one to debut this evening. So I'm going to share my screen, if allowed, and show our latest and greatest video, if you want to see it.
We would enjoy to see that. Okay. Perfect.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to share.
You have the ability to share now.
Thank you very much. I do. Let's share sound. Share. And then see if I can make this bigger.
This bigger.
In this video about outcomes reporting, we are going to discuss a data dump and how to avoid it. A data dump is marked by a large volume of facts offered without context or analysis. In the case of outcomes reporting, a data dump does not select facts that are relevant to the audience's knowledge and interests or to the intended message. Rather, a data dump leaves it up to the reader to sort through the facts and find what's important and why. We can see how disorienting a data dump can be if we imagine a weather report. We're here on the scene where the wind is coming out of the northwest at 8 miles per hour and the temperature is 77 degrees. The barometric pressure comes in at 1,021 millibars, or 30.15 inches of mercury, and the humidity is 44%. Here you can see the atmospheric pressure today, tomorrow, and the next day. And here are some pictures of the clouds as they move across the states. I hate to interrupt. That was a lot of numbers and visuals, and I'm still not sure what you want to tell the viewer. Do you think they will understand a reading of atmospheric pressure in millibars? Maybe you can explain that a reading above 1,013 millibars denotes a high pressure system. And a high pressure system means
fair, clear, and calm weather.
Got it. Also, I gotta say, it seemed like your report lacked a sense of purpose.
How so?
Well, what were you intending to tell the viewer? Weather reports usually mention something about, you know, the future.
Oh. Well, maybe I should explain that the millibars will, or that the high pressure system will still be around tomorrow. And you can expect the weather to be fair, clear, and calm.
Perfect.
Here are some key takeaways for avoiding a data dump. First, you do not need to report every piece of data. Rather, select data that is relevant to the message you want to convey. Speaking of selection, data should be selected with respect to audience. Just as the weather reporter provided raw numbers without accounting for the audience's understanding of and interest in weather terms, so too should you choose data that accommodates your reader's background knowledge and that they will find meaningful. Similarly, data should be selected with respect to purpose. The weather reporter did not provide data about the change in barometric pressure over time, for example, and so the report lacked a sense of purpose beyond conveying, hey, it's nice outside right now. Likewise, you can purposefully choose data that provides the best evidence of what you intend to show. Thank you for watching.
So that was Nate doing his fabulous acting. He really takes the ideas and takes them off the page and makes them great and understandable. But we're open to feedback, suggestions, anything that you have to say about this latest and greatest microlearning.
I just want to apologize to the board because I didn't see this video till after we wrote all that stuff. But I felt very seen. So
regarding data dump. I really liked the metaphor utilized of it definitely reminds me of talking to people about things. And be like, can you give some context here? And can you, what is the point of what you're trying to convey? I think is the important thing. And that all the things that we share, should be around, what that message is. We don't have to share data just because it's there. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the delivery of that as well. I also was really glad to hear that Champaign County Christian Health Center is working with you all, because I don't think I realized that they were joining on. I knew about the other organizations, but I'm very pleased to hear that.
Yeah, we just recently had our first meeting with them. That was decided somewhat late, so yeah.
Any other comments or questions from the board?
Well, great.
Well, thank you very much for the update, and we look forward to hearing more hearing about how the workshop unfolds.
Absolutely, we'll have another micro learning for the next meeting and an update on the in-person workshop. So, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. So, we will now move on to the next item of the reports, which is the community behavioral health needs assessment activities. And there's some information on pages 118 to 121 of the packet. Included for information only are notes from the September meeting of the community health plan behavioral health work group. Lynn, or whoever you'd like to designate, would you like to share more on that?
I do want to say Chandra was also at this meeting. The two of us had been at a state committee meeting like at the beginning of this one, so they didn't have us listed, and I made them change it to list myself. But she's not. She was there too. I'm just sharing this because I want you to know what kind of discussion they're having at these little work group meetings. And these are open to the public, but we usually find out about them like 1 week in advance. So I will do the best that I can to send you out the notifications in case you're interested or you have friends who might want to go. But it usually is pretty short notice. But, you know, the information is super interesting and very timely for us. So.
Thank you. I noticed from the notes that there's something about tapping into the U of I's Center for Prevention and Development. Is that at the School of Social Work? People are, it's on page 121. I know the people who work there, so if the group is wanting to connect with them, I can connect you to those people.
Well, I think this was about specifically about the Illinois Youth Survey, in which Champaign County has always had pretty low, or at least for a long time, pretty low participation in the Youth Survey, which is, you know, it's statewide data divided by county. It's very helpful to us to understand what kind of experiences children are having around substance use and mental health. But the data are, you know, it's not great. And they've tried different ways over the years to improve participation. It is up to the schools. So I think these were just some ideas for how to improve that. Yeah.
To know. Any other comments or questions? All right, seeing none, we will move to the Disability Resource Expo update, which is on pages 122 to 123. There's a memorandum from the Expo coordinators and also a link to the Expo website. The Expo is on October 18th, correct? I was a little alarmed to see this very alarmed to see this information for many reasons, but Lynn or someone you designate, can you share more about this update?
We're meeting tomorrow morning to talk about this. I agree. I think we're in a tricky position. Minimally, I don't want to do the expo at Marketplace next year. I'm not sure what's going to happen this year. This effort to make it safe for people to get there by bus is, you know, it's not perfectly effective yet. So anyway, we're going to talk about it in the morning. It's a very small group of people talking about this, the coordinators and myself and one of our staff. So, I don't know what we're going
to
do.
And the basic gist is that MTD stopped direct service to Marketplace Mall, which means that anybody getting there by bus is going to have a distance to go, and it doesn't seem particularly safe for like a lot of different individuals to be able to get into the mall. I'm just like, why did they stop this service?
Because Marketplace is started charging large vehicle users for entering the property. Do you know about this, Kyle? Like, it's like $1,300 a month for MTD to pull up on Marketplace property.
Yeah, I remember they tried to get an agreement with the MTD board, and they basically laughed at them, like, what are you talking about? I mean, that's not how business works. That's just really unfortunate.
And I'm concerned that the effect that it has is exactly what it is intended to have, to make it harder for some people to get to the mall. Just like, it reads like that to me, and this event is supposed to be as disability friendly as possible, and those are the people most likely to get hurt trying to cross the busy road from the bus stop. So this is very serious. If we end up having to cancel this expo, it's so much time goes into it each year, this careful planning through committees. It's very community driven, it's disability focused. We're very proud of it, of the process and the product. So the worst case scenario is not off the table. But anyway.
Very upsetting to hear. Thank you for that information. Any other questions or comments on this one? All right, seeing none, we'll move to next, the fourth quarter PY 2025 funded program service reports. These are on pages 124 to 164. For information, our fourth quarter service activity reports for programs funded by the CCMHB and PY 2025 reports are not cumulative, though. Is there anything that you or designee would like to share about the reports? Thought maybe Mr. Leon Bryson would like to share.
I will speak to it briefly. The deadline for submitting the fourth quarter reports was August 29th, and the agencies had their CLC reports due, program service activity reports, annual performance measure reports, all of their financial reports due, and the outstanding comment that I have is all of our agencies were able to submit their reports on time for me to compile this report, with the exception of one, and that was only due to they're waiting to get data back from the state. And so all of the agencies did an outstanding job with meeting the deadlines. So That's what I have. Thank you to the agencies.
What was the agency that is waiting on info from the state?
That's Courage Connection.
That's what I thought, because I noted in the races reporting that there was like a problem with the database. It said like InfoNet got hacked. Having volunteered in the past, I know what InfoNet is and how bad that is that got hacked, because that's, you know, confidential data. So that's completely understandable, but like extremely alarming. It's not the same issue.
So the issue Courage Connection is having is receiving their data from ICJ, Illinois Criminal Justice database. So, they're just waiting to get that information before they can compile their report to and get it to us. So I have an email out to them now, and so hopefully I should get some feedback within the next few days as to where they are with, you know, that information.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you for sharing that. Any comments or questions on the reports from board?
Yeah, I was noticing that on the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers Report on page 132, they mention the termination of Rosecrans's contract with the County Board for Jail Reentry Services. Is that the same thing as on 160 on Rosecrans's quarterly report? They talk about a staff member leaving without leaving data, or so is that two different things? Or are we still funding Rosecrans for that?
We didn't fund the reentry program. That's been a county board funded project. I don't think it's the same staff person though.
So that was my question, that's not any of our money in that, but it is the criminal justice thing that is still going, but some staff person left without leaving data for Rosecrans.
Well, criminal justice, it was terminated too.
Did they
terminate that contract, but there's a report in there about it. Yeah.
Okay.
So Rosecrans terminated specialty courts and criminal justice and child and family services because they had state and federal funding to cover all that. Mm-hmm. And they're with two of them, with specialty courts and criminal justice, they're actually reorganizing the services according to public input through this process that's required with the federal funding.
Okay.
So some things are changing. I think healthcare consumers tends to report to us on like what those changes are feeling like on the ground.
Okay.
So that's really important input.
So we get money back from
We did. Yeah.
Okay. That was my final question. Yes. Do we get money back? Okay.
Part why we were able to make the decision we did tonight, it seems.
Okay.
And I really appreciated the narrative summaries, like from Healthcare Consumers, Crisis Nursery. there were a couple of other ones that I thought were, I just blanked on them, that I thought were really well done and really speak to the current situation, especially at the federal level, and in ways about like accessing benefits and things. So I appreciated that information. Any other comments or questions on these? All right, seeing none, we will move to the PY 2026 funded programs on pages 165 to 173. For our information is a summary of programs funded by the CCMHB, CCDDB, and the IDD Special Initiatives Fund. Lynn, or, is there anything you want to share about these?
This is this document was actually developed specifically for the county board. To like just an at a glance of what we're doing with this money, but we also, because it's easy to share this, we've sent it to representatives, state senators. There's a much more extensive version of this online in the online system that pulls the agency's actual their words for the scope of services and also lists their websites. So it's the same information, but this is shorter so that it's portable. If you want it, we can pull the document out and share it with you if you ever need to tell somebody what we're doing with all this money. It's also posted publicly.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments from the board? I think it's a very helpful way to get like a brief rundown of all the programs, so I appreciated it. So seeing no further comment, we can move to public participation agency input. I gave the spiel earlier, and I don't think there's anybody else new here. So if there's anybody who wants to make public input, you can come forward, you can fill out a slip, you can raise your hand on Zoom or chat on Zoom. Is there anybody who'd like to speak with us? No one online, no one in person, so we will move forward to board-to-board reports. So on page 174, there is a list of agency board meetings and other community board meetings that board members can attend and kind of be a liaison to. And if there's anyone that wants to do that, you can talk to Stephanie Howard Gallo about how to get set up with that. Is there any board-to-board reports from this for this time? All right, sounds like nothing to report. So we will next move on to county board input. I know our county board representative is not here, but Lynn, is there any input, like any info from the county board that you're aware of that we need to know?
They're meeting tomorrow night. I try to watch their meetings. I don't usually come in person, but you could do either if you want. Lots of talk right now about 2026 budgets because the financial situation is it's worse than expected, and there was some controversy earlier in the year about how bad it was going to be, but it's even worse than that. So they have to continue having budget discussions for a while longer, and that'll I think that's one of the focus issues tomorrow. So I think that's it.
Thank you very much for that. Does anyone have anything they want to add there if they have additional info? All right, seeing none. Next is Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input. Is there any input from the DVD board?
Well, you will be joining them here in this room next week at the same time for a really great study session. They don't meet until next week. They're meeting in the morning and then in the evening, too. So okay. I know. It's a lot, but yeah.
Good to know. Thank you very much. Next to last, we have board announcements and input. Are there any announcements from board members or additional input? All right, seeing none, the last item is to adjourn. So as Lynn mentioned, we have our study session jointly with the Developmental Disabilities Board next Wednesday, September 24th, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center in Urbana, Illinois. Hope to see you then. Have a good night.
Okay. Oh. It is really hot.
Thanks for sharing that.
Just like I think next week's study session is like probably not likely to be scary for anyone, but if we ever have a meeting or a study session that's scary, you can fully exit this way.
Should I have said that?
No, it's okay.
Beforehand?
It wasn't relevant yet, but just if there's ever a reason that you don't feel safe and you don't want to go that way or that way, you go this way. It's out the door and then either elevator or stairs to the basement and then out the back.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, I mean, just...
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's no guards here, so I just thought you should... I looked into it. I talked to the
that's a good idea.
County administrator today, and we agree that's the best way to
do it. Okay, I'm going to go out that way and see where I end up.
Good night.
Bye. Thank you.
Just a whole ear.
Yes. I mean, it is a little complicated, but so you just go out here, go this in the way, lobby, and another door, and then go to the elevator or the stairs.
Study sessions are not like an official meeting. We don't have to have a quorum other than to like approve the agenda.
Gotcha.
I think it might depend on how late you want to arrive.
Gotcha. Okay.
In terms of how long it goes, like, I mean, I would say the one we had in August was longer than I expected it to go. I think we've had more public input in the last two times, two times you've been to a meeting than like we have had in most of the time I've been on the board. I don't know. We can ask Lynn also kind of what she, the temperature.
Okay. I can email her, you know, just let her know, because I can be sure to do the board meetings and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Later, like if they do last a while.
Yeah, because is the switching of the weeks going to